Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 54 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by Mashi, as always. Mashi, welcome.
Hey, Gabby, how you doing?
I'm good. You are in a different setting today. Where you at?
I'm so we recently moved to Warehouse, Channel Fireball. You know, we've been in the South Bay, the Bay Area forever, basically since its inception. But now we have a warehouse in Henderson. We've moved to Henderson, Nevada. So I'm actually at the new Channel Fireball warehouse right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because most of my experiences recently, certainly in Vegas, have been for GP Las Vegas, which is in the middle of summer, which is just miserable as all get out. And so I just have it in my head that every time I go to Las Vegas, it's miserable. And it's actually quite nice right now. It's very pleasant. So I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
So yeah. Mashima, the last time I was in Vegas, the second to last time, I was cosplaying as Nyssa. Oof. Because that's the time that I actually went all out and did like the nice Nyssa cosplay, and and it was in the middle of summer and it was like over 100 degrees out, and there was a giant like EDM concert or something going on that weekend, so people thought I was dressed up for the concert, so they're like, aren't you gonna be hot when you're out there partying? And I'm like, No, but I need to get into the convention center now because I'm melting right now.
Yeah, the EDC. It was Electric Daisy Carnival.
It was EDC, yeah, that's what it was. I couldn't remember what it was. Yeah, no, absolutely, that was it.
Which was hilarious because I think there were a few of those Vegases where Martell and Kibler were at the GP, but they're really there for EDC.
Yeah, I remember those.
There were appearance fees. So I was like, let me show up to the GP, register my deck, get my appearance fee, and then go to EDC. So, by the way, Wizards changed that policy
weird how that happened. There was no way to tell that could possibly happen.
Who could have predicted? Who could have predicted? Gamers are going to game a system? So it was a bit of a slow news week, Gabby. There wasn't a ton of stuff going on. We scraped together a show. But, you know, I think it's really, really, really important we build that consistency into our Magic FM broadcast. So what was for breakfast today?
we dropped off Naya at her daycare and we just swung by a coffee shop on the way back. So they have these like homemade Pop-Tarts, which I think Pop-Tarts are gross, but I think the homemade ones are actually really good.
They're so good.
They're so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this place had these awesome homemade Pop-Tarts. So I had some of that. I'm like, I'm going to go get lunch after this. Usually I'll have like a big breakfast and then like a very small lunch, but this was just like a Pop-Tart.
What did you get? What flavor?
It was raspberry and the top of it was like some sort of glazing with like stars kind of. I don't know. It was really good. It was raspberry basically.
Yeah, there's like kind of like two ways you go with those, where you get like the cinnamon based, you know, cinnamon brown sugar or something like that, or you go the fruit based. I think an apple, raspberry.
Yes,
whatever.
This is what that was. It was like glazing plus raspberry inside of it, and I don't know. This place is very good, so I love the Pop-Tarts from there. How about you? You're in Vegas, right? Have you eaten anything good in Vegas yet?
Not really. I've been at the warehouse all day, every day. So we have had daily acai bowls because, as you know,
I love the acai bowls. Yeah. Yes.
So immediately I go anywhere new that I'm going to be at for any length of time, I start researching the acai
bowls. Scope
places.
Out what so the acai situation is near you.
Exactly. So we've had acai bowls. It's too early for me. I haven't broken my fast yet because after this, I'll probably, we're going to do Hash House a go-go, I think.
I like Hash House.
Yeah. They deliver here. So it's like super, super duper good. I will say I'm lucky enough to have a weekly one-on-one with Gabby, and yesterday she was chomping down some spam and eggs while we were meeting.
It looked
really good.
It was really good.
I was watching you do that, and then this morning it came up like, what if we do Hash House a go-go and just do like a late breakfast? And I like literally had flashbacks to you with that spam and eggs, and I was like,
yeah. Yes,
that sounds perfect.
I love Hash House. Hash House is a chain, and there was one in Chicago, and BK used to live right across from that Hash House, so we've gone to it a couple times. But it's one of those places where, you know, when you get a Bloody Mary and the Bloody Mary has basically like an entire meal over it.
The meal on top of
like,
it.
Like you don't even need to order breakfast when you do that. It actually has an entire meal on top of it. Hash House is the kind of place that does that. So I remember at some point getting a Bloody Mary there and then just being like, why did I even order food? Like, I made such a mistake.
There have been, I mean, I think Tappy Toe Claws in particular has definitely posted some pictures of some Bloody Marys with like the garnish is like a slider. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, like there's a whole burger on top of it. Like, what are you?
this is crazy. I can't do this. So I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm one of those like breakfast is a good meal any time of the day thing. So I'm all about it. Oh, okay. What's for lunch then, Gabby?
I don't know. We have to figure it out. We're probably going to record this podcast and then either just make something here, depending on what we have, and or maybe like order something. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's here. We can't top that spam egg and rice from yesterday. So, you know.
Yeah. There's always second best, but first best is already taken. It's too late.
It's funny because I think like spam has such a bad reputation and people are always like, oh my God, spam. Like, how could you like it? But I love spam. And I didn't grow up eating it or anything. I just like, I don't know. I just was introduced to it at some point. There was a place in Chicago that used to do this Filipino breakfast. I know it's like a big Hawaiian thing too. But it was just that. It was simple as that. It was just like over easy eggs, fried, you know, like rice and spam. And it was just one of my favorite things to eat there. I loved it so much.
That dish right there, by the way, the combination of spam and rice is unbelievable. The combination of eggs and spam is unbelievable. The combination of eggs and rice is unbelievable. And you like just jam it all together. And it's just like, it's so good. Anyone who hasn't tried this, I get it. Spam does have a reputation. It's a very easy thing to make. Just get some eggs. You got to get that runny yolk, however you do it. And then you just kind of like, you can just pan fry the spam quite quickly. Get that rice. Boom.
Yeah. And before a bunch of people are going to be like, oh my God, I hate spam. How could you be recommending this? But I really, it's so not good. Healthy. I'm just letting you know. It's really not healthy. It's a lot of salt, but it is delicious. Yeah. I love it.
I am 100% with you. And it is wonderful. Wonderful. So, all right. Should we get to some magic here, Gabby?
Yeah, we should. But before we actually get to some magic, let's do a shout out for the sponsor of the podcast, channelfireball.com. It's got a really cool new offering. It recently launched. It's called the Ultimate Magic Gift Box. What is it? It's a cool gift box that you can give during the holiday season, or you can get for yourself. You want to treat yourself. The base box costs $49.99, but there's different higher tiered versions of the box that comes with magic goodies that are about $100 in the box. Obviously, higher if you get the higher version of the box. But it comes with a bunch of stuff inside of it, including booster packs that are assorted booster packs. So it's also really cool if you want to do something like chaos. There's the 6-pack version, 12-pack version, and then 24-pack version.
So I'm watching all these. What do you think the most popular one is?
The 24.
By far. It's crazy. The 24-pack people, I mean, you get a great variety of chaos stuff. If you want to do any kind of chaos play, chaos sealed, chaos, you know, team draft or something like that, this is a great product for that. And, you know, there's promos and whatnot if you want to have prizes or have fun with it. But it's one of those things, like I've told different members of Team CFB about it. Like Martin he's like, dude, this sounds awesome.
This is so cool for chaos.
It's a way I can get one. I'm like, all right, Martin, we'll see what we can do for you. So yeah, it's a fun little thing. It's just in time for the holidays. Obviously we're going into Black Friday. I mean, it's funny. I know I work e-commerce and retail. We have a store and everything. Black Friday is just like, not my favorite time of the year.
I think it's a lot of people's not favorite time of year for what it's worth.
it's so, and I hate that. I feel like once you start making larger purchases, sometimes there's a pull where it's like, okay, now I'm spending a lot more money on things like maybe a washing machine or a dryer. And it's like, do I need to be paying attention to this? Cause in my younger days, I was like, I don't care. Like there's good deals, but it's just not worth it. But then you know, it's like, if I get a good deal on a washing machine, maybe I do need to like figure this out.
Yeah, as I've gotten older, so I'm not like the biggest fan of shopping just in general. I know there's like a lot of people who get a lot of joy out of it. I totally get it. I kind of like buy the stuff that I need and then I'm done. But I know for Black Friday in past years, especially as I was getting more and more into streaming, I realized that you do get a lot of good deals for stuff like, if you want to get a new microphone, you can probably get that microphone you wanted for like a good discount. Mm-hmm. And same's true with like furniture or lights or things like that. So a lot of times, even though it's like, oh my, because one time I went to Black Friday Mashi, like an actual Black Friday place at midnight to do the doorbusters. And it was just like max regrets. I was in Indiana. It was freezing. And I was out there at some outlet mall doing like doorbuster shopping. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. This is horrible.
Yeah, it's pandemonium. It's pandemonium.
But I've done stuff like I've gotten a bunch of Magic cards in the past during Black Friday because I wanted to fill out a cube, or I needed to get a new computer, so I bought a bunch of computer equipment on Black Friday. It is worth looking at it.
Online is different. I will say this. Online is very, very different. It's the physical doorbuster, like open.
Yeah,
open,
when people like are ready to trample everyone as they're going in.
And that's what's changed. Like, I do shop on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I do both of those from the comfort of my home.
Yeah.
Through my laptop. Like, that is totally fine.
Completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any anything you're like planning on getting this Black Friday?
I haven't looked at anything too crazy. Nothing's been at the top of my list. How about you? Is there anything you're looking to get?
Yeah, I have like a couple things I was going to look at. I don't know if I'm going to get them. I was looking into getting a new desk because my current desk setup is actually two desks put together. It's a little janky. And I was looking at getting different lights because the lights that I have here are pretty good, but they're umbrella lights. They're quite big, so they take up a ton of space here in the room. So I'm looking into getting smaller lights. That's basically it. It's just all streaming stuff.
Dude, I'll bet you those lights. Any technical, the desk is a desk, so that's whatever. But
that's gonna be whatever
equipment for streaming or podcasting or any of that stuff with COVID, it's so hard to get now.
Yeah, I've been seeing the same thing from a bunch of people because I've had a couple people ask me. Unsurprisingly, people are getting into streaming now that there's COVID going on, and they're asking me for recommendations for streaming equipment and stuff like that. So I've recommended a bunch of webcams, microphones, and lights, and everything is sold out.
Yep. Everything. You did that for me. You did that for the box breaks and everything. And I was like, oh, none of this is available for like a month.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable. What advice do you have? Just, I think we've talked about streaming. I think when we had Bloody on, we had a whole episode talking about streaming, but I mean, what advice do you have for people starting to stream in terms of just like the sheer kind of exhaustion? Because I know I talked to you about this, but we do this. This isn't live. You know, the Monday Meta is live and Magic TV used to be live. There's all these things, but it was never 4 hours. And the box break at the end of that with Sasso, I was like, oh my gosh.
Exhausted.
So tired. I was all kinds of exhausted. How do you manage those reps?
I would do a couple of things. The first one is you can't go from 0 to 60. And I think the analogy that I have for this is it's kind of like when you go play your first FNM and you're like 3 rounds of Magic. That feels like a lot of rounds of Magic. That was a lot of work. I'm tired at the end of the night. Whereas when you go to the GP, you're playing 9 rounds of Magic, right? Well, it's 8 or 9, depends.
Yeah.
And you have this super long day. And by the end of it, you're exhausted because it was an entire day of playing Magic. You can't go straight from not playing that to GP. Like, you'll just burn yourself out. So you kind of have to build up. So just kind of like how you did with box breaks, you will develop a tolerance for it as you go by. The other thing is, which I think is severely underrated, is just kind of stop, hydrate, go use the restroom, like take a little breather, because I think it's really easy to just stay stuck to your desk and not, and like be like looking at the clock and be like, oh man, I still have all these boxes that I have to open here, right? Like, I know this is going to go on for a couple more hours. And if you just don't pay attention to making sure that you are not hungry, like, this happens to me all the time. When I am hungry, I get in such a horrendous mood. And I won't always notice that it's happening. Like, at the point at which I've noticed, it's too late. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, well, now I'm just in the bad mood because now I'm hungry and I'm not feeling well. So I think just stopping and checking in, making sure you're drinking, you know, staying hydrated, being fed, that sort of stuff will help do like a really long stream. And then you can maybe push to do a 24-hour stream, though I do not recommend that. Those are horrible.
That's never going to happen. Straight up never going to happen. How often do you eat on stream? Just in a related...
I time my stream so that I don't have to eat on stream.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I was like, I've never seen you eat. I mean, drink, sure, but never eating anything.
Drinks, I always have, like, you can't see it right now, but usually I have like a bunch of water bottles, and like right now, like I have a coffee and I have a water and I might have something else over there.
Also, it's just like Luis's desk when he streams.
No, because I clean it every time I'm done.
For those who don't know, Luis, it's like, I can't imagine, like, in that house, it must be like, I can't find any cups.
Well, so you know that we have more cups than actually fit in the cupboard up there because they're never all clean.
Oh my God.
I'm dead. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I do not. I mean, he's shown me.
I am not joking. I'm dead serious.
And he's like, he'll like pan down or show us what's on his desk. And it's like, oh my God, it's not even a desk. It's just something to put a bunch of dirty cups on at that point.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. So yeah, that's kind of what I would recommend. You kind of just have to build up to it.
Yeah, and it's I really underestimated it. I couldn't. I was like, man, it was a lot, and a lot of it's being on and finding that comfort zone.
Yeah, but for sure. I like with the food stuff. I will have snacks sometimes on stream. Like my typical go-to snack is a string cheese because it's really easy to eat and it's not like especially crunchy because I don't want to be like crunch, crunch, crunch. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to do that. There's been times when I do a 24-hour stream that I will eat on stream.
Oh, right? you have to.
I'll absolutely do that. And that's fine. But generally speaking, I find that I enjoy my food less when I'm also like trying to stream and interacting with chat. So I just try to time it so that I start the stream after I've had food and then I try to end it before it's dinner time.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. Okay, I know we've got tons of good league weekend stuff and some cube draft stuff. But before we really take a dive into that, I can't help but notice, as I've seen for 54 weeks now, you have the art for Ambush Viper behind you.
Oh my God, Vashi, the daggers! I do.
Gabby, are you aware that that's getting reprinted? Did you know that?
I heard it's getting reprinted. I found out on Twitter.
So did I. So
can I get on my soapbox for 1 minute? I have gotten preview cards from Wizards a bunch of times. I'm very happy that I've gotten preview cards. Like, I feel very lucky. It's always a privilege to preview cards. But there's one card I love above everything, and it's that card, the one that's right behind me. It's Ambush Viper. It's the most forgettable common ever. Like, it's not like an especially exciting card. It's not an especially powerful card. It's a common from Innistrad set that came out over 10 years ago at this point. And it's a dream of mine to like have Ambush Viper reprinted, right? And so then I wake up and I go on Twitter and then I just see, suddenly I get like 10 messages from 10 different people or something. And they're like, did you see? And I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And I found out that Commander Legends is previewing Ambush Viper and the prof got to preview it. And I was so mad, Masha. It was so sad. Holy moly. I couldn't believe it because what are the odds that Ambush Viper ever gets reprinted again? It's like got such little odds, you know?
I agree.
Couldn't believe that I didn't get to preview Ambush Viper. I was so sad.
It's a Hey, I got shafted with Pillage. I feel your pain, you know? And it is funny because you have an audience, and your audience is much bigger than mine. People, the way I found out this happened is I just started getting tagged in all these tweets and messages. Like, I'm like, what the heck just happened here? Like, what's going on? So it is funny because it's like there's an audience and the audience knows this. Look, you didn't carve out Lotus Cobra where it's like, hey, this is a
cool mythic, one of the most iconic cards from Zendikar. No, it's like the most forgettable common from Innistrad.
It is, and it's hilarious because like you wonder, it's like Gabby's marquee card, or should we give that to her to preview, or just give the prof a third preview card?
He had four previews.
It's like, come on, the daggers are real.
To the prof's credit, the prof totally knew, and he made a joke. Yeah, he did a great job, and he knows because I've known the prof for a long time, and he knows that that's like my signature card or my pet card. And so he kind of just rolled with it, made some fun jokes about it. And a bunch of people were like, oh my God, how could you not give Ambush Viper to Gabby? And a couple of my friends here in Denver were like, well, that just seems like incinerating value because it's such a forgettable card, but you would have actually done something cool to preview it because I would have lost it. I don't know what I would have done if I would have gotten that preview card, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious. I got blown up too. Like, oh my God, Mashi, they really.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
What is going on? But it is in Commander Legends. Yeah. So the next time, Wizards.
Next time. I call dibs, please, Wizards. One time, please. Oh man, yeah. I am just happy to see that Ambush Viper is getting reprinted, though, because that means a whole new generation of Magic players will get to enjoy the beauty that is Ambush Viper.
It's back in. So we got where we wanted to go. Maybe not quite the way we wanted to get there, but we got where we wanted to go. And that's important.
Yeah, I was truly happy to see that. Moving into actual, well, that was Magic stuff, but
that was Magic.
Magic news specifically. I realized that we hadn't actually ever talked about league play. And league play has already started happening. And for those who don't or not familiar with what it is, just a little lowdown. This is basically what replaced the MPL weekly show. So if you remember last year, or maybe it was like 2 years ago at this point, I don't know, when the MPL launched as a new thing, Wizards was putting on this like really elaborate show. where they were having, like, they had, like, the full coverage set up. Like, it was, like, a really high production thing. But unfortunately, the way it was structured and the way it worked, people weren't, like, super enthused about it. So the viewership was quite bad, and nobody really paid attention to it. Some people did. I mean, it did have viewership, right? But it wasn't what they expected it to be, because they really pulled out all the stops for this, and the returns were just not really there, and people weren't really excited about it. So they changed the way it works into league play, which is what they're doing now. And I thought it would be interesting to kind of compare, hey, what worked for the MPL before, what worked for league play now, and how do we feel about league play now that it's already happened once and we have another league weekend that we're going into this weekend? So what are your thoughts, Mash?
I just want to say, before we get into the particulars of it, like my thoughts, I'll give you the broad stroke right now. League play is way better than what we had before. Unquestionably, in my mind, way better. And we'll talk more about the specifics of why that is. I will say, I just want to get this out there. Like, I just don't care about the MPL. I don't care about Rivals. I don't care about the MPL. I'm not engaged in that part of Magic right now. You know, obviously, Luis, Huey, Reed, Martin, like, I have friends, close friends that are playing, Gabriel Nassif, like, people I've root for that I want to see win. None of that has changed. This system is better than the other system, but the overarching thing of, like, how engaged I, like, I'm not going to watch this. I watch Luis's Twitter to see how he's doing. I check on Gabriel Nassif. I check on Huey. Like, I check on everyone's individual Twitter. If I don't see an update, I'll Slack someone, like, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? You know, I am engaged with the individual players, but the whole system I'm still checked out on. And I don't know if that's a me thing. I don't know how that's remedied. And I don't know that I'm really the target audience, you know, because we're professionals in this area. So maybe that's not what they're looking for, but I just want to say, like, I don't know what they could do to really get me re-engaged with this aspect of Magic right now.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting challenge there, because the thing that dictates whether or not you're engaged with something, it's you build into it, right? You don't just you don't wake up one day and you're like, I'm really into wrestling today. Like, that, it just doesn't happen like that, right? Getting engaged into anything is like a slow onboarding process, and getting engaged in pro Magic is something that I think for a lot of people happen when they start playing Magic. They like Magic, they start going to their FNM, they start playing online, they start doing all the stuff, and then they see the pro tour, they start getting engaged with the players, and then eventually you build into this space where people are engaged with pro play. I think sadly over the last 2-3 years, everything about the way pro play worked has changed. It made it so that a lot of people became disengaged with it. Even some of the most enfranchised players, even some of the pro players themselves, right? Like the Sam Partys and Pat Coxes of the world, who were always, you know, part of the pro circuit, but they don't really do it like that anymore, because in order to be in the MPL and, like, it just doesn't, the system just doesn't allow, there were more pros before, basically. There were more people who were pros than there are right now with MPL and Rivals, before there were all these strict guidelines about how you would get in.
Now, all of that being said, that's just my standard disclaimer. I think this system is great. I think, you know, I do not think that it is, you know, necessarily drawing me in the way it should be drawing people in, but I think it is drawing others in. And when I compare it to what was before, we've spent so much time trying to figure out how this works. How do you find success at this level? What needs to happen? You know, who needs to win this split, or it's double elimination, and what do these points mean, and, you know, all that. This is so clean. You win, you get points. You lose, you don't get points.
You don't get points.
I understand that. You know, I get that. So I love that aspect of it. And I mean, the way it's being presented, the way it's being run, everybody streaming it, there's so many opportunities to engage with this product, either through players you like watch Luis's stream. It's on a 10-minute delay. I get it. Like, that's not optimal, but guess what? It's a high level tournament. That's acceptable to me. You need to have that trade off, and that works for me. And of course, watching Luis play Magic is a lot of fun. And you can do that with a lot of people. I think Martin's streaming it. I'm not sure. I think Huey was. Are they all streaming it?
They all have to stream. All right. I believe they all have to stream it. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, and I think that is actually awesome. It increases the reach of this weekend by so much. There's so many avenues that you can consume it if you want, you know, and that is really tailor-made for someone like me where I say, you know, I'm not sure how bought in I am to this whole system, but I am bought into Luis. I am bought into Huey. I am bought into Martin. So why don't I just go watch them play Magic? Because mm-hmm. those are the people that I'm really invested in and care about. So whether I'm into the whole system or into the individual, there's an avenue for me. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's like exactly where you needed to go with this. So how about you?
I'm kind of there with you too. I too am quite disinterested with pro Magic, just broadly speaking. I think the mm-hmm. last couple of years were pretty tough in terms of disenfranchising and reducing my ability to care about what's yeah. going on with it, because it went through such a tumultuous period that I just stopped engaging with it at all. And it's mm-hmm. really hard to kind of like bring you back from the brink. I will say, I want to give credit where credit is due, that I think league play is really cool. One of the things that I think people, I haven't really seen anyone say this, but I think it's important. Like, it is the way I see it. And I thought it maybe changes the way somebody thinks about it, which I thought would be useful to get out there. And it's that a lot of people have never had the chance to go to a pro tour. Because, you know, pro tours are all over the world and you get to, well, now Mythic Championships, but whatever, you know what I mean, right? Like when you went to the pro tour, right? When you went to Hawaii for that. The pro tour. Yeah.
I just like, yeah, yeah.
Gabby, of course, right. to yeah, you, like, it just okay, sank
Mythic
in.
Mythic Championship, sure, yeah.
For sure. But to the Mythic Championships. But before, people would travel all over the world to the Mythic Championship. And a lot of times people would be like, huh, I saw that there's going to be a pro tour near me. I wonder if it's worth it to go. And mm-hmm. the Pro Tours are not very spectator friendly in the sense that mm-hmm. it's not like a Grand Prix, right? Like a Grand Prix, you go and it's got artists, it's got all these side events, it's got all these cool things. And it's made to be almost like a Magic celebration that you engage with. The Pro Tour is there for the sake of finding the, you know, the Pro
Tour. The best player in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know there's like, it's also a promotional tour. I get that. But the point of the Pro Tour was to play the Pro Tour out. And so mm-hmm. one of the coolest things, and one of the things I always felt very lucky to do when I went to pro tours, because I either was working coverage or maybe I was just going there to run with my friends or whatever, was that you could actually watch over people's shoulder. Like the way it works is people would be on chairs and they'd be blocked off. Like there would be kind of like tables that are blocked off, but you could right. still stand on the other side of it and you could actually watch over someone's shoulder. And so I remember like very clearly multiple times looking at Huey's matches because he happened to be right at the edge. And so I'd just be watching from his hand and his side and I'd be like, huh, interesting. And I'd just be birding him. And it's so cool because you get this like, it's almost like this window into, huh, this is Huey playing his pro tour. This is so cool. Nobody gets to see this, right? And I always felt very lucky that I could just keep walking around the room and continue to do that. And I'd go bird BK and I'd go bird Matt Ness and I'd go bird Sam. And it was really fun. And I think that league play lets you do that. Because, and this is not something that was available before with the MPL weekends or anything like that. You're actually, because not everybody streams it and talks to chat. Like Luis does that, for example. Luis streams it and talks to chat. And there's a delay, so he can't get any outside help. And, you know, if anybody suggests lines of play, they're going to get deleted in his channel. But a lot of people will just stream it, and they won't even be talking over it, but you can watch it as it's happening. And I think that's a really cool and unique opportunity. One of the only few upsides I see of the fact that this is happening during COVID is that you get to see this. And that's really cool. And you get to see it for everybody who's playing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is this amazing, and this goes all the way back to the inception of Channel Fireball. It's like, it's not just coaching, you know, and watching, you know, getting advice from the top players in the world, which is kind of, you know, how we modeled it. But there's that voyeurism aspect of seeing how the pro thinks, seeing how these top players or, you know, Luis is kind of both. I was going to say entertaining players, but Luis, as I said, he's a top player and he's both very entertaining. Anyone who hasn't watched his stream, and everyone who's listened to Magic FM has seen Luis's stream. As much as I give Luis a bad time, he is one of the most entertaining. I don't know how he does it. It's just he is so entertaining to watch, you know, in a random, very peculiar, like Luis way, you know. Gabby, yours is great because you're kind of just hanging out. You're like, oh man, this is like just hanging out at the store. One of us is playing Magic. Like you do this sometimes, right? When you're at your local game store and maybe everyone's rounds finished and Gabby's the last one playing. So he's kind of hanging out, birding. It's super casual, you know, so maybe you're talking about stuff too. And that's what I love. Luis is just random in that random Luis way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. He has this. Sometimes with Luis, you just kind of think to yourself, is there just a different story he's telling himself in his own mind? And every once in a while, he just blurts out parts of it to you that are hilarious. It's like that's sometimes how things feel with Luis. But so check that out. I think that Voyeur's aspect is huge because you get to watch, I was going to say in real time, but there's a delay. You get to watch decisions being made. You know, you don't have to ask yourself, because so many times when I'm playing standard or when I'm in a draft, I ask myself, like, what do I think, like, you know, Ben or Ethan or Alex or Luis or Marshall, like, what would they pick here? What would they do? What would their line of play be here for a draft? Or, you know, if I'm playing standard because I do the Monday meta with Martin, I'm asking myself, like, how would Martin treat this? Would he, like, I literally ask myself, like, I've talked to Martin a lot about this deck or about standard. Would he mull this hand? Would he play here? Mm-hmm. Is he the beatdown? Do you attack here? And you don't have to have those hypotheticals. You get to watch and actually just see, oh, this is exactly what they would do here because I'm watching them do it.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think that is actually a really, really cool aspect of league play that was absent in MPL weekends, mm-hmm. or like in the MPL play. And I think that's really cool. I do think there are some things that are still not perfect about it, obviously. One of the huge downsides is the way they handle feature matches right now. And this is obscene. Like, the streamer and me just like shrivels up and dies when I hear this. The way it works right now, everybody's streaming, and then you have a time where you know you're going to get called for a feature match. And when that happens, you have to take your stream down and start streaming to a different website, to a different stream key, so that they can feature your match. If you've streamed, it's like one of the worst things you can do. You can't just interrupt the stream. Like, the reason that we were talking earlier about, like, how do you do these long uninterrupted streams is because you build the viewer base, you build that audience. And then if you just log off, everybody disappears. They're not going to be congregated there anymore. So that is a huge downside of the way it works right now. From a production standpoint, I understand why they can't do it a different way. I have suspicions about how it works. I have suspicions about how it works on the back end, which would not let them do it properly if they were streaming. I get that. But I just feel like there's got to be a better, more creative solution than taking your stream down. That's just awful.
And this comes back to, if I understand the problem correctly, and Gabby, you know this way more than I do. I feel like this comes back down to the, why isn't there a spectator mode on Arena?
Yes. That seems to solve this completely.
Just give us a spectator mode. And I mean, I don't want to hoobang on Arena right now. We may touch on Kaladesh Remastered, which I'm super excited about because I love Almaken Remastered. I love the accessibility Arena gives me, but it blows my mind that you say to yourself, huh, we have Magic Online. We need to develop a new client so we can push into esports. We really want to make Magic an esport. Great. Let's put together Arena. Thank you for doing that. I love Arena. Can't say enough good things about it. But if you're building this specifically to go into an esport, how was spectator mode not like high on the list of things we needed to put in this program?
It's
like, I don't get it.
Not even on the roadmap.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I just don't understand it.
It blows my mind. If you want to be an esport, people need to be able to watch it. And now we go through these hoops. And what Gabby's saying is so true. Like, even just with the minimal streaming of like a Magic TV, or even with box breaks, like, okay, let's turn it on a bit. Like, I remember saying to John, like, let's go live like 15 or 20 minutes early. And, you know, that was our plan. We didn't end up actually, let's just chat for a bit, because we need people to know we're live so they can come congregate, so they can come watch it, so they can find us and know we're going. And you just unplug all of that by having it shut down. And if you're one of the streamers, like, one of the ways I feel like Wizards can really sell this, not they need to sell it, they, you know, there's contracts, but you still want people bought in and saying, hey, streaming's not required, but guess what? For all of you that stream, this is a great boon for you. You're going to have all this extra content. You're going to have more people watching your channel. There's this great equity you're going to build among your audience by doing this. So we think it's a good thing. And they're not wrong. I think they're right about that.
Yeah, I agree.
But they take away so much of that off the table when they say, okay, now shut it all down. Tell everyone you'll be back in an hour. It's like, well, that doesn't work that way.
Basically, I mean, to make it simple, the way it works is when you stream anything, you stream it to a key. and the stream can only stream it to that key. You can do something like try to screen share, but it's worse quality than if you're streaming it to a specific key. So when everybody's live and streaming, they're streaming to their own key. When Wizards is trying to feature them in coverage, if they do a screen share over Discord, you lose a lot of quality, which suddenly makes their broadcast look worse. So if they're asking everybody to stream to their own channel, the reason they're then asking them to take it down and stream to a new key is so they can have that lossless, like that high quality coverage. And it's coming at the cost of them having to take down the stream. That's in essence what's happening. And yes, there's not a clean answer. The clean answer is called spectator mode. Hurrah!
And that ain't coming anytime soon. I think what they've done, I want to be really fair here because I think this is just true, is like what they've done is create a system that does create the best show. It creates the best, if you're watching on the main Magic channel rather than an individual streamer, this is the way to create the best looking show for that audience and for that channel. And I think that, you know, you got to make a decision there about how you want to do it. And they've made that decision. And whether you agree with it or not, I think there's really, really good. And I think it probably is the right decision because they're putting on a show. They're putting a lot of money into putting on a show, and they're making the moves to make that the best looking show they can. And I think that's laudable. That's what you need to do if you're going to commit to putting on a show like this.
Right. That is one of the downsides. Also, speaking of the esports and making it visible, like esports wise, I want to put a pin on that because we're going to circle back around to that later in the show.
You know, it's so funny, Gabby. I was just going to say, you mentioned screen quality. We do need to talk about how important recognizing cards is in the game of Magic.
Oh, man. Yeah. So do we want to wrap up league play and then maybe get into that?
I think we do. I think we're already there. I mean, do you have any final thoughts on where we're at? I mean, I think, you know, I got my initial thoughts about the MPL and Rivals, and setting all that aside, this is all stuff that's good. This is great. Like, this is a good product. It's if you are engaged with an individual player, go watch them. If you are engaged in the whole tournament, watch that. There's A+ coverage. They've got the A team in terms of commentators. They're doing a great job producing it, and it's a wonderful standard format with great engaging games that are fun to watch. So I think that it checks all those boxes, you know, for me.
Yeah, I think overall I'm pretty happy with the way things are trending, in the sense that I think when the MPL Weekly was happening, I was just shocked at my inability to care for it. And then I realized that was happening to everybody else. So I was like, oh, okay, I wasn't alone in that. I thought, I was like, wow, am I just jaded? Do I hate everything now? Like, have I become a curmudgeon? And then I realized it wasn't just me. It was a lot of other people too. So I was very happy to see league play and engage with it in a way where I was getting excited over it again. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting here giddy like, oh my God, I can't wait for league play this weekend. But I just think it's cool that on Saturday and Sunday, there's going to be a bunch of streams that we can turn on, and it's like, oh, they're actually playing for something meaningful and we get to watch. And if they do better, they're going to get points. And it's not this extremely convoluted, complex thing. Like, I can actually kind of follow it in that if they get more wins, that's better for them. I know that's blanketed always true, but there's been points at which the way the MPL has been structured, it's like, I have no idea if this matters at all or if this is
right. Not all wins are equal.
Yes. And that was one of the things that was, you know, one of the downsides of the way that MPL was structured before, and I think it's cool about this now. I think one suggestion that I think could be useful, and I talked to Luis about this one, was I do wish that the person who did the best in one of the league weekends would get something for their trouble. I agree. Like, I don't know, league weekend champion, or
even if it's just the title, even if it's just
anything, it's just anything, cool, right?
I mean, I know they're already paying people a lot of money, but you know, I just like, even if it's like, first of all, I don't think you need to put any cash into it, but you could just say that they are the champion. You could put like $500 or something on it. That could be nice too. But I wholeheartedly agree with this. And I think this might've been an overcorrection where, honestly, winning one of the splits last time you got, did you get make day two automatically? It was some crazy thing.
The thing that was, this is the problem with the MPL, the way it was structured last time, is they were playing for huge stakes, but essentially what they were playing for were buys. They were playing for to get a buy into day two of the Mythic Championship, which is huge.
Insane.
You can't. like, if you're familiar with the old Pro Tour, you couldn't just show up at day two of the Pro Tour. Like, you had to battle. Like, it was not an option. Like, you couldn't get buys to it or anything like that. So the stakes, what they were playing for, was enormous, but it was not communicated that way. So it just seemed like they were playing for, like, they're playing for the ability to play less Magic, which was weird incentives. And yeah, I mean, it did not come across to the audience properly.
You need to market that something like, you know, day two, that, you know, the EV on that, you know, that's $10,000 or something like that. Like, you needed to push that, and it didn't. And so I think that sometimes you're running the event and you go, what the heck? People aren't buying into this amazing prize that we're handing out. Like, this prize was amazing. And trust me, I remember when Huey won, he was like, no, and I didn't know. And he's like,
it was a huge deal.
Here's what this is worth. And I was like, oh my God, Huey, that is insane. I did not realize how important it was that you won.
You and everybody else watching.
Right. So. And so then I feel like the pendulum, but Wizards knew, and I think the pendulum swung way back the other way, where they're like, we offer such a great prize, nobody cared. So you know what? We don't need a prize. It's like, well, no, I don't think that's the takeaway.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
So I do think having something, and honestly, hand to God, I thought there was one. Because I remember I was like, I actually said, who won? I was talking to Martin. I'm like, well, who won this last weekend? He's like, well, what do you mean? So-and-so got the most wins. I'm like, yeah, but who won? Like, okay, so did they win? Was there a playoff? Like, what? How did that work? What did you get? And he's like, no, you just, like, your record just carries over. And I was like, wait, what? There's no, because we're trained that there's a tournament, there's a winner, and there's a prize for that win, right? So yeah, I agree with you completely. There should be something, even if it's just like a little crown or something. I don't know, whatever it is.
Even just a title, even if it had no money attached to it, I think it would be cool. But yes, this segues us perfectly into the next thing we wanted to talk about, which is, you know, esport, and hey, it's important to be able to recognize cards. Well,
yep.
Something interesting happened this week. Cube is out, Vintage Cube, which is the powered cube, aka the Holiday Cube, if you maybe know it by that name. And it's out for 2 weeks. And so everybody was very excited, especially like the cube community, who's always like, oh my God, it's time for the Vintage Cube. Because we get different cubes, and we get the Cube Spotlight series, and we get Legacy Cubes and things like that. But when the Vintage Cube is out, that's like the real degenerate cube, right? Mm-hmm. So people sit down to draft and they're excited. And then suddenly they open a pack of cards and nothing looks right. And why is that? Well, in this version, in this iteration of the Vintage Cube, the cards are all using like the most unknown alternate art, whether it be like an expedition, or if it was a box topper, or if there's like judge alternate art, basically like the most unknown, rarest version of the art of any of these cards. That's the art is being used. It's really jarring because a lot of these cards, really extremely iconic cards that you're so used to seeing, like, just to give you an example, Solemn Simulacrum, right? You can just picture it. You know, you think of the robot. He looks pretty sad. You like have this mental image of it. And you open the pack and then suddenly none of the cards look familiar. And so this has caused quite a stir because truly it's hard to see what's going on in the pack of cards of Vintage Cube when you can't recognize the art of anything. Yeah. And they did this for all the cards that are in the cube that have alternate art available.
We talked about this, you know, when you were doing the show notes, Gabby, and I just, someone somewhere thought, you know, and we're all guilty of this. Someone somewhere thought, hey guys, gals, friends, I have a wonderful idea.
This is gonna be cool. Yeah.
What if we spiced up the Vintage Cube and just did all alternate art? And you can see how that sounds really, really cool. And like, oh my God, this is gonna be so awesome. People are gonna love it. It's gonna be great. And then you throw the brakes on because this is exactly what we were talking about. We don't, you know, when you think about yourself playing Magic, and I don't care the format, whether it's limited more so, but even in standard or constructed, I should say, you don't read the Magic cards in front of you. You look at the art, you know, just like you said, like I can picture Jens on sad robot on Solemn Simulacrum. I can picture even the new one. Right. So, you know, there's ways that you just identify cards, and this actually plays into how I play on Arena. When there's new art, I'm like, no, I like this art. I'm used to this art. And I actually just play the art I'm most comfortable with.
Yeah, and you get to choose the art you want on Arena.
But that's a real thing. You know, that's a real real thing when you're drafting in particular, and especially in a cube, right? Because you can have different alternate art pieces in, say, like Zendikar Rising, and you just kind of get used to it because you see it so much, and you know you're getting the reps in. I don't love that. I don't even like the full art when they do the full art thing treatment on Arena. You know what I mean?
I think those cards look like they make me dizzy.
I don't like it. Yeah. And it jars me when I get it in a pack and I'm like, wait, what card is this? Like, oh, I guess I unlocked this with the mastery thing. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. So this is just, I think it adds a little more stress when you're doing something like Vintage Cube that you're used to doing. You're like, wait a minute. The familiarity I had with this process is gone and it feels foreign, but I love it, but it's weird and I hate it. And like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. I have a couple problems with it. I think Vintage Cube's already a complicated format. It's definitely for more enfranchised players. I mean, Magic Online, generally speaking, is for more enfranchised players because it's not the easiest UI. It's not the, you know, it's kind of archaic program. It can be complicated to follow and it's difficult to get used to, right? And if you on top of that make all the cards look different than they normally do, you're just adding this complexity to a thing that's already complex and didn't really need it. And even more so, because I tweeted at Magic Online and I was saying, hey, like, you know, because Luis is the first person who posted a picture of like, hey, this is what my opening hand looks like, and I'll include it in the show notes so you can see it, but you don't recognize like half the cards in it. And a couple people in my comments were saying, like in the comments on Twitter, were saying, hey, I love Vintage Cube, but I'm not going to play it this season because I have, like, I recognize, you know, like as a processing thing, recognize Magic cards by their art. And I found the experience very stressful when I went in to see the Vintage Cube and I didn't recognize any of the cards. Like, it was just like an overload for me, and it makes me not want to play Vintage Cube, and it makes me not want to watch Vintage Cube. And when I was drafting on my stream, I was having a hard time following the draft. I was having a hard time following the games because everything looks so different. Which, you know, at this point, if this is the art that they chose and they did that, I think it's out. But it's baffling to me, both the fact that Wizards wants to get more into esports, wants to be more visually appealing, and is trying to do all these things to be more of like a new game. Meanwhile, we are taking the Vintage Cube and making it look impossible to decipher.
It also does look awful because part of like just from an aesthetic standpoint, part of what all of these alternate art cards, they look great when you group the alternate art versions together with the similarly issued alternate art versions. But when you throw it all together, it's like this weird grab bag of cards from a different game.
Yes. And it looks like different games together, right?
Yes, totally. And so you're like, oh my God, this is just jarring. Like, what is, it's like someone threw some Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon cards into my hand for this draft. It doesn't make any sense at all. Like that screenshot that Luis tweeted, I was like, this is just like, what is going on here? You know?
Yeah.
So I agree. And there is a lot to be said. And I think that, you know, you and Luis are going to feel this even more keenly. But there is a lot to be said when you're kind of like putting on that comfortable pair of shoes that you rely on, that you love, that it really, it's not just a pair of shoes anymore. There's like this comfort. You love the way they look. You love the way they feel. And it's like a safety place. And then all of a sudden there's new insoles or something. You're like, wait, this is all different now. This is very jarring. And it's so much worse for you, right? Because you were expecting it to just fit so well and be this. And then you're like, oh my God, what's happening? This is my safe place, my happy place. And it's all different now. So
I also think there's something to be said about, yes, people generally speaking are scared of change, right? When a website changes the way it works, people are always like, oh my God, I hate it. And it might not be that the new thing is worse. It's just that you're used to the old thing and that's fine. Like, you were used to the old thing and you knew your way around it and that's how you enjoyed it. The problem I have with Magic Online doing this to the Vintage Cube is that it's called the Vintage Cube. Part of the point of the Vintage Cube is to play with the cool old cards and get to play with them again. Mm-hmm. And part of enjoying the old cards is the way they look, and it's playing with those cards. And if they all look different and they don't look like the cards that you used to play with, like, one of the appeals of the Vintage Cube is actually that level of nostalgia, which you lose when you do all the alt arts, full borders, all foils, all different, like all different looking cards.
Yeah, it doesn't feel cool. It doesn't feel as old school. Like, yeah, this is a classic, right?
This isn't a thing that was made so that for your convenience it looks better. It's more like, no, it's for my inconvenience and they look worse.
Yeah.
So,
I hate it.
Yeah, thanks. I hate it. It's kind of a bummer. I hope that they change it. I've seen a lot of people tweet at them saying the same thing. Obviously, if you plan on tweeting a Magic online, be respectful. Don't be like, yo, I hate everything you did. I just, some people don't do that much. Some people are just like very rude.
No, I know. But it goes without saying. Feedback goes nowhere if it's not constructive.
Yeah.
Like just.
I just think that somebody had a cute idea of like, hey, we're going to make the Vintage Cube look really cool. That's just not the way it came across. And so I hope they change it. I'm probably going to cube less with the art like this. I mean, truly, it does actually affect my, like impact my interest level in it. But hopefully that will change. It's going to be out for 2 weeks. So maybe there's enough time.
This does harken back to one of my favorite parts of Magic, which is Magic is truly an international game. And I've played Magic. I mean, I've played Magic in Japan. I speak a little Japanese, but I've played Magic in Brazil. I've played Magic in China and Shanghai. I've played with other players who do not speak English. Or, the Japanese players spoke Japanese, but other many throughout Europe and everywhere. I've played Magic with who do not share a common language with me. That you can absolutely play a game of Magic because of that recognition, because you know how the cards work. This is much easier in constructed or a very, very established limited set. But I always tell people, I may not be able to speak Croatian. I may not be able to speak Spanish or French, but I can speak Magic. And when you can speak Magic and I can speak Magic, we can play a game of Magic together. No problem. It's so easy. It's one of the most amazing things about this game. It's one of the most wonderful, amazing things about this game. And this just illustrates how that changes when all of a sudden the art becomes unrecognizable. And that's a crazy, crazy thing.
I've been lucky to have the experience of playing against an international player at a Grand Prix who didn't speak very good English. But it was so cool that we could play the match, despite the fact that the two of us could not communicate very well. It's really, truly incredible. And I feel like that's kind of what we're losing here with the cube, right?
Absolutely.
I've worked coverage. And guess what? When you're working coverage, you also don't read the cards. You just look at the card and you have to know what it does. And if you have this thing where it's like, what is that card? Oh my God. I remember we used to hate expeditions in coverage because it's like, oh my God, this is an expedition and I can't tell which kind of fetch it is. So we can't talk about what kind of land they're going to fetch with it. And it made it super hard. Like we really, it was cool when players had it because it's like, yeah, this player clearly cares and they wanted to have expeditions and all their stuff. That's neat, but it makes it really hard from a coverage standpoint.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You gotta do all your homework. People don't realize this is a good point. When there's a new set and you're doing coverage back when you had like limited coverage or even just a new set that's impactful on standard, although less so because there's less of the new set cards in there. You have to have a cheat sheet. You have to study all those cards
The casters memorize the cards. We used to do with flashcards. Wizards used to send us these boxes that was like an entire set. But the whole point of it was for us to memorize the cards. It was one of each card. And like on the flight to do coverage, it was like going through them and making sure you knew what each of them did. And so that you could memorize it. Because you have a split second when you land on the card and you know everything it does, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all because of the art. So yeah, hopefully this will change with the Vintage Cube. There were some other things that were also announced with Magic Online, which I thought were kind of interesting, Mosh. Supreme Draft, which we covered the first time it came out, is looking like it's maybe here to stay. I can't really tell what's going on, but it was announced that there was Supreme Draft for Innistrad, which just ended recently. There's Supreme Draft Chaos, which is scheduled for later in the year. And then also later in the year, there's going to be Supreme Draft for Vintage Cube. So we have a lot of Supreme Draft slated in the future, and I'm kind of confused because I don't understand who Supreme Draft is aimed at. And I know this is anecdotal evidence and I know that evidence isn't perfect, but I don't know a single person who likes Supreme Draft. I'm just being honest. I don't like it. Right. In fact, I kind of hate it. And I don't know any close friend of mine that likes it. And when I stream, I certainly have not run into anyone who's liked it either. Mm-hmm.
I this is really, really interesting. And obviously there's loads and loads of data that the Moto team has about whether this is actually a popular thing and people are playing it. The two things that spring to my mind is one, this is a way, and this is a way to get bot drafts on Moto. Not that bot drafts are like, I don't play any bot drafts on Arena anymore now that you don't have to, but this is a way to get a bot draft, but it's timed. So you lose the whole value of the bot draft on Arena. Yes, is like, oh, I gotta go. It makes no sense. Like, why are you timing it? So that's one thing, but I don't really get that. The other thing is, I wonder if the issue is drafting on Moto has just collapsed. People are drafting on Arena, and the Moto team feels like they need to carve out that niche. Like, okay, fine. If you're not going to draft here on Magic Online, you can do that on Arena. You can only do Supreme Draft on Moto. That's what we're going to do. We're going to carve out that you know, area for us, that niche for Magic Online. I don't freaking know. It doesn't make sense.
The reason I am now unhappy about it is because when Supreme Draft first came out, I was like, I'm all for it. I'm super excited. Yeah. This is sweet. They're trying new stuff. I like that they're trying new formats. How cool. But now we're like quite a bit into Supreme Drafts, and it feels like we're just still going, right? We're doing Innistrad. We're doing Chaos. We're doing Vintage Cube. And I'm over here just kind of scratching my head and thinking, wait, who's playing this? And like, who's this aimed at? And why are we having, because these are coming at the cost of having other formats and other things on Magic Online. And it seems like we're just trying to jam, right?
Or just these formats with regular draft, right?
Yeah. How about instead of Supreme Draft Vintage Cube, we just do Vintage Cube and call it? Like, I think a lot of people would be happy about that.
I don't know what the Spart Scott Vargas household is going to be like this holiday season with only Vintage Supreme Draft.
We're not going to play it. I can tell you that right now. Also, because the other thing is Vintage Cube is coming back, but it's not coming back during December. It's coming back on December 30th until the release of Kaldheim. So the thing that people know as Holiday Cube, I hate to break it to you if you haven't heard it before, it's not happening this year. There is not going to be all the Vintage Cube streams that you're, because you know, like Johnny Magic does a lot of those Vintage Cube streams. Luis jams Holiday Cube when it's out.
And nonstop.
Hate to say it, but that's just not going to happen because there's just not going to be a Vintage Cube during that time.
This will be like the Fruitcake Cube. That's what we'll call it. The Supreme Fruitcake Cube. You know, it's still a holiday feel. It's one of the worst things that you get during the holidays, but it's still a holiday.
I'm glad you share my sentiment on fruitcake. I hate fruitcake so much.
It's just not my jam. No, I don't understand it.
Really not.
What I love is that, I love, why is my brain not working right now? The Italian holiday cake.
Panettone?
Panettone.
Oh, you like panettone? Because I also hate that.
I love it. It's very fruitcakey without the like little bits of fruitcake in it. But panettone is, my stepfather came from an Italian household. His grandparents immigrated from Italy and had a restaurant. So they were big in the food industry. His my grandmotherina was Italian American, and his father immigrated. My grandfather on my stepfather's side immigrated from England. So there's a lot of Italian food in my household. Stepfather got married. So panettone was a mainstay. So I still love it. I look forward to it, and it's very fruitcake adjacent, which is why I wanted to call myself out on it. That's why I went all in on the I do not like fruitcake, but I do love panettone.
I really can't with panettone. I hate it. One of my dad's family friends growing up, he was the owner of the factory that did a lot of Ferrero Rocher exports, like outside of the US. So they had a ton of stuff. But guess what? They also made this fruitcake. And so we always had like piles and mountains of this panettone Ferrero Rocher fruitcake growing up. And my dad always served it like every day during the holidays. We just always had the fruitcake. And now I can't see it. I can't stomach it. I hate it so much.
Are there any Ecuadorian holiday like dishes or items like that?
Not for Christmas, but there's a ton of stuff for Day of the Dead, which actually was this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know anything about very much about, like, I would say like Mexican culture, Mexico, but California has a lot of, you know, influences of Mexican culture. So like one of the things I start to associate with this time of the year is a drink called Champorado. I don't know if you've ever had that or not. You've never had champorado? You should ask Luis. I'll bet he's had it. It's kind of, I would say it's horchata adjacent. If you like horchata, you can.
Yeah, I like horchata. We do something totally different. During Day of the Dead, we have this drink called Colada Morada. And it's it's really hard to make. Like, families get together to make this drink because it takes like an entire weekend to make it. It's made out of like 23 different fruit. Half of the fruit you couldn't even get here because it's fruit that only grows, you know, in that part of Ecuador. And then they also make these bread. This bread is called wawa de pan, which is a Quechuan word. Wawa means baby in Quechua. Mm-hmm. And it's just these like bread babies that are just part of the Day of the Dead tradition. They're sweet.
Are they sweet?
Yeah, they're decorated. Like, I remember us decorating wawa de pan when we were kids. Like, God. The parents would make the actual bread and then we would get to decorate it. And obviously they looked awful, but
great though.
Oh, it's a great family tradition. I was actually pretty sad that there was, you know, that Day of the Dead is, it's funny. When I first came to the US, I had no associations to Thanksgiving because that's not something we celebrated. Now I obviously love Thanksgiving, but Day of the Dead is like that, kind of like that. It's like a big family thing where everybody gets together to make these drinks and this bread and celebrate with your family and, you know, think about your ancestors and stuff like that.
It's funny. Many cultures have that. Like, so in Japan, we have Obon, which is in August, which is the festival of the dead. And it's just the idea that the spirits are closer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's just something very fundamentally human about it. So I know it's focused on those that have left us and those that are gone, but there is something very comforting and human about it that I like about seeing that across multiple cultures.
Yeah.
What was the name of this drink? You said it so quickly.
Colada, which means basically like a mix. Morada, which means purple. So it's like purple mixed drink, I guess would be the literal translation, which doesn't sound good. But it is fantastic. It's almost like a porridge. It's like a very thick drink made out of a ton of different fruit. I'll send you a link afterwards.
Sounds like acai.
It's sweeter than that because it's also a hot drink, by the way. It's a hot drink.
Oh, it's hot.
It's a hot drink.
I think it's just because you said colada. It's like, this sounds like a rum infused something I want to drink right now.
I guarantee that a bunch of parents and families put liquor in that and have it too. Right. We just didn't know because we were kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This sounds amazing. The final thing we'll say, because I know we're running out of time, is are you familiar? Because you just said this. Do you know what purple drink is?
Mm-mm.
There was a Sunny D commercial back in the day, and they're going through the fridge like purple drink. And it's just like purple drink, you know, is generic. Like, I always think of it as like a very sugary purple Kool-Aid or something.
Sure.
But that was a thing. Like, I think largely driven by that Sunny D, like purple drink. But anyway,
I feel like I've heard my college friends like refer to purple drink before, for what it's worth. Yeah.
Just like a purple, you know, punch. It could be grape soda, but purple drink. So,
yeah, all purple right. drink.
great way to end this week's Magic FM. Thank you so much for hanging with us. It was a slower news week, so we had a bit more of the hangs, but I think, you know, we touched on some really, really cool stuff with the holiday, the fruitcake cube, and with league weekend and stuff.
Supreme Draft Vintage Cube, is that the fruitcake of cubes?
the fruitcake of cubes. It's the fruitcake cube. So thanks for hanging. Of course, there is a video component to the show. If you're listening to the podcast, subscribe, leave us a review. That really helps us if you leave us like a great 5-star review. We take a look at that. It's a great way to give us feedback. But there's a video component. Gabby and I are talking on video. You can find that on youtube.com or on channelfireball.com. You can follow the podcast at Magic FM Podcast. I am the guy on the left, Mashi Scanlon, at Mashi Scanlon everywhere on social media. She is Gabby Spartz, at Gabby Spartz everywhere on social media. You can find her streaming most weekdays, twitch.tv/GabbySpartz. Thank you so much for chilling. We'll be back next week. Until then, be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.